This is 105.9 The Region, and you're listening to Discovery, the radio show for podcasters. Your content, unfiltered. This is Discovery.
Hello, I'm Ann Rohmer, and welcome back to How Money Works with Hem Bhatt. We are presenting the third episode in this series designed to further your financial literacy and to help you ensure that your money is working for you. In episode one, we looked at the importance of a financial needs analysis. We explored the rule of 72, income protection, and four ways to earn income. Episode two, we looked at saving strategies and discussed retirement, pensions, both government and otherwise, and we honed in on RRSPs, TFSAs, and FHSAs. Each episode of How Money Works stands alone, but we encourage you to tune in to episode one and two, available wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Today, we will deal with RDSPs, or the Registered Disability Savings Plan. Back in 2022, Stats Canada estimated that 8 million Canadians have at least one disability, something that in many cases can reduce or actually eliminate the ability to earn a living. To that end, we're going to delve into one way in which our federal government assists these individuals, the RDSP. With me and leading our education once again is Hem Bhatt from Primerica. Hem has 10 years of financial services experience to his credit and has the knowledge we need to make better financial decisions. Hem has built a career around understanding money, the role it plays in our lives, and how to keep more of it. And wow, he has quite the resume. A bachelor's in business admin, accounting and taxation, a master's certificate in project management, also an LLQP, and he completed courses in Canadian investment funds and branch management from the IFSC Institute. He developed a seminar series called How Money Works, which serves as the basis for this podcast. Husband, father, community leader, Hem has achieved what so many of us hope to, life satisfaction and financial security. Hem, I am so happy to see you again, be with you again. Really looking forward to this next installment in financial literacy.
It's always a pleasure to see you as well. Today's session is going to be very special. I can definitely say that.
Well, it sounds like it's close to your heart, and we're gonna delve into that as well when it comes to this aspect of financial literacy. So let's start with the basics of the Registered Disability Savings Plan. What exactly is it?
This particular plan is just designed to empower families to save for the future, because there are many Canadians living with disabilities and they aren't getting the financial help they need today to ensure they are better off tomorrow. So I'll just give you kind of an example. Is there are almost like 8 million people in Canada. They have some form of disability. And believe me or not, it's almost 21% population of Canada. Okay, so that's why it's very important that people understand this and people implement it.
One of the problems for people that have a disability is the ability to find work. And I think that that's very important when it comes to the discussion about the Registered Disability Savings Plan. So can you give us an idea of what it is intended to do? And then we'll get into more details.
So RDSP, it is basically a tax-deferred savings vehicle, which was introduced by the government of Canada to help Canadians with disabilities and their families to save for their long-term financial security. Now, obviously, you have to be eligible for that in order for you to get an advantage. So a Canadian resident who is eligible for DTC, which stands for Disability Tax Credit, is also eligible for an RDSP until December 31st of the year they reach age 59. Okay, so to qualify for an RDSP, they should have disability tax credit. They have to be resident of Canada. They have to be less than 60 years of age, and they have to have valid SIN number.
So how does it help someone who has a disability? How does it help them either stay afloat financially or save money?
So RDSP is just the first step, is just to kind of start that particular program for the family. So the first step is open an RDSP account. And the person opening the RDSP is known as a holder. The beneficiary is the individual for whom the RDSP has been established and who will receive the money in the future. if the disabled person opening an account has capacity, they will be the holder as well as the beneficiary.
So because I'm new to all of this, and you are our teacher, our learned one, Hem, so what happens? So you open up an RDSP. Do you contribute money to it? And if you do, how is it sheltered?
So it goes in. Once you open the RDSP, then what happens is there are some sort of commitment requirement from the account holder or the beneficiary. And also based on that, they expect to receive the grants and potentially the bonds in that account as well.
So I know that before we began this session, this wonderful episode of How Money Works, you mentioned a case study. This was before we actually got going. So maybe this is a good time to share that case study so we can understand.
Sure. So let's say a car accident left 16-year-old Steve disabled. Now he qualifies for the DTC, which is Disability Tax Credit, and is therefore eligible for an RDSP. So his father, John, opens the plan and is named as holder because Steve is a minor. But then John has decision-making authority over the plan until he becomes over 18. And then family decides that once Steve reaches the age of majority, he will become a joint holder with John, or he can take over completely as an account holder.
So let's discuss what we should know about RDSP. So does it earn interest? How does it work for the person living with a disability?
So there are three things to know from the beginning. Is there are 200,000 maximum lifetime contribution per beneficiary. That is the kind of guidance given by the government. There is no annual limit. So you may contribute 200,000 a year, sorry, just in one shot, right? Number two is contributions which are made within this plan, they are not tax deductible, but the growth isn't taxed while held in the plan. And number three is contribution must cease by December 31st of the year in which the beneficiary reaches the age 59. So when it comes to the investment options, definitely, the RDSP can generally hold the same investments as any other registered plans you can think of, like let's say RRSPs or RESPs and kind of those things. So it's very common for people to understand that. Where a non-qualified investment is made within an RDSP or where a qualified investment ceases to be qualified, you may face a tax of 50%
wow.
of the fair market value
wow.
of the investment. So when it comes to RDSP, all I can say, it's a very broad spectrum. It is situation-based, and people need to understand that what I'm talking today is just the general guideline. It doesn't mean that that is applicable to each and every listeners for this particular podcast.
So what would be, in your view, Hem, before we move any further with this, what would be its greatest benefit, the RDSP? What's its greatest benefit?
There are multiple benefits, but let me just talk about there are five ways to contribute, okay? So how this particular plan can attract the money. So contributions by the account holder. So whoever is the account holder or the same person might be the beneficiary. That person can make the contributions. Contributions can also be made by people the account holder has authorized. It could be anyone. It could be family members. It could be friends. Your neighbor, people who you work with, right? And then number three, this particular plan attracts the money, is the federal grants and the bonds. Number four, any transfers from a qualified RRSP or RIF or RPP, which is the pension plan. And number five is transfers of the accumulated income from a registered education savings plan, if it names the same beneficiary as the RDSP.
Are there any advantages for those who are contributing? So you mentioned friends or family can contribute. When you contribute to an RRSP, you can get a tax benefit from that. So if you contribute as a friend or a family member to the RDSP, will you receive any benefit from that?
There is no benefit. So let's say if I have a friend who has a family member who actually has some form of disability. And because, like I said, they have to make some amount of contribution in order for them to receive the grants and bonds. And let's say they are short and I just give it to them like as a goodwill or just because they are my friends or my family, then that's the only reason I'm just giving it away. But I don't expect to receive anything back from the government.
So now that we have saved this money, how do you access the RDSP money? You touched on this, and we want to make sure that people don't misunderstand what happens if you have to access the money that is in the RDSP.
So I think we missed to talk about this part as well, that government help comes in based on the contributions, like I said. And it comes in the form of the grants and the bonds. So I'll give you an example. These are just the numbers. And then let's say if someone's family net income is $106,000, what happens is the government will give them a grant of $3,500 off the contribution of $1,500. If their family income is more than $106,000 per year, then every dollar they put in, which is up to $1,000, government will give $1,000 for that. So it's almost like 100% match.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is just about the grants. And then I can also talk about the bonds as well. Is bonds, basically, someone qualifies for it, is, again, it based on the income. They have to be at the lower income tax bracket. So let's say a family's net income is up to $34,000, $35,000 a year. They will get maximum bonds per year is $1,000. So in a nutshell, what happens is the lifetime grant someone can expect to receive is $70,000, which is a huge amount.
And that's up until the age of 60?
Up until the age of 49.
Okay.
And then the bonds are actually $20,000. So in total, $90,000 comes from the government in form of the grants and the bonds.
So I said the word 60, and you had mentioned that a little bit earlier, that is an age limit. So why 60? You know, you think about people who have disabilities. Sometimes it happens to them later in life as they age. So what's the good and the bad when it comes to the age 60 as the end line?
So the way this is designed is just with the grace period. So what the government says that until you're 49, we can give you grants and bonds. And because this whole plan was designed and established for someone who has a disability for their financial future, so more likely the caregivers are around until whatever age, but then it becomes more difficult when, let's say, the parents who are taking care of them now becomes more older, they have no income or very low income. At that point, this money kicks in. So the age is capped at 60. So what it means is the money has to stay. Whatever money has gone into this plan, it has to stay in the plan for 10 years. So because it stops at 49, the grants, then money stays in that account until they turn 60. And then age 60, they start receiving those monthly payments from the plan.
And those are incremental payments. And how is that determined, what percentage would come out of the plan starting at age 60?
So that is based on whatever is the value of the plan, and it can come as a lifetime disability assistance payment. So what these payments are meant for is recurring annual payments once started, and it must be paid until the plan is terminated or the beneficiary has died. It may begin at any age, but must commence by the end of the year in which the beneficiary turns 60. Because now what the government thinks is, okay, you're someone who has a disability turns 60, so now we should just start giving this money back, okay? And that's how they get these recurring annual payments. Now, payments are generally limited to a maximum tied to their fair market value of the plan and the beneficiary's life expectancy, which is age 80 in most cases. The maximum amount doesn't apply where a physician certifies that the beneficiary isn't expected to survive beyond 5 years.
Boy, that's tough, but it's the way it has to be.
Yes, that's correct.
So let me ask you this, the plan holder or the beneficiary, and it could be one and the same person, is that correct? What if they are earning an income through the inception or the opening of their RDSP? Are they allowed to earn an income while they are also seeing contributions to the RDSP?
So RDSP is treated as a completely separate entity. It has nothing to do with whether you're working full-time, whether you're working part-time, or you have no work to do. Or also on top of that, depending on the age, whatever you qualify for. So let's say people qualify for old age security. Okay, people qualify for guaranteed income supplement. They qualify for Canada Pension Plan, GST benefit, and then social assistance benefit. So generally speaking, when people have any type of benefits in place, sometimes, depending on the type of benefit, there is an impact on the other benefits they have been receiving. Whereas for RDSP, because it's treated as a completely separate entity, regardless of how much money you have within that plan, it is completely separate than what you have been receiving. So I'll give you an example. We talked about this age 49, when all these grants and bonds, they basically stop because, let's say someone who has opened up that plan, they have received a lifetime grant of $70,000 and lifetime bonds $20,000, right? So now the money stays there. Now, in the future, after the age 49, can they contribute in that plan? Absolutely, if there is a room for it, definitely. But whatever they contribute, there is no grants and bonds coming in. However, at the same time, that money is going to be sheltered within that plan. So I'll give an example. A couple of my clients, they have these kind of scenarios where they are over 49. They have this plan, and some people, they did not have this plan in the place once they were over 49. But then as a part of the lump sum payout, because they have a disability, so let's say their previous employer who is paying them out the pension, or they're packaging them out, whatever it is, or they inherit any form of money, then they cannot actually show that money. Because there's an impact on what they have been receiving as a benefit. So this plan shelters every single penny for them, and still all other benefits they are currently entitled for, it remains in place.
So in other words, if they did inherit some money, it wouldn't affect the strength of the RDSP, is that correct? It wouldn't impact it?
It wouldn't. And also, like I said, whatever benefits they have been receiving, right. So let's say someone is on RDSP, yep. That benefit will still continue.
So let's talk about closing an RDSP. And I know that there's more to talk about in between opening and closing, but why would one close it? When would one close it? How do you ensure that you're getting exactly what you have been hoping for and deserve?
So there are two sides of this. The one is, let's say, someone who has RDSP and that individual passes away. Okay, so when beneficiary dies, the RDSP will collapse and full proceeds of the plan will be paid to the beneficiary's estate or the estate beneficiary. So respectively, whatever it applies to, and in terms of the grants and bonds and repayment obligations. And so, again, it's a very broad spectrum when it comes to that side. But the original contributions remain non-taxable. And then any grants, bonds, and investment income received will be taxed as ordinary income to the beneficiary or his or her estate. So let me just kind of backtrack.
Yes, because as I say, what you're saying makes sense, dollars and cents, but there are so many implications to this that we need to just review again.
So let me just give you an example, and I'm not going to use any numbers, okay? So whoever the account holder is, that account holder will contribute for the beneficiary. Towards those contribution, that plan will attract the grants and potentially bonds. And that because it's invested, so that is going to grow. So depending on whatever, however it's been invested, that's how the money is going to grow. Let's say 20 years later, 30 years later, beneficiary passes away. Now the account value is the contributions plus the grant plus the bonds plus the income earned. So now at that point, when that account has to collapse, at that point now beneficiary's estate or the estate beneficiary, respectively, this will be paid out to them. But because contribution were after-tax money, they don't have to worry about paying tax on it because they already paid on it. Now, what they have to pay tax on is the grants, bonds, and the income earned. So whatever is the total amount, that's what they have to pay the tax on.
So as the plan is growing, is it tied to the current interest rate? How is it that it increases in value? Is it tied to whatever the interest rate is at that point?
So generally speaking, it's a mutual fund. So let's say if it's a mutual fund, then it fluctuates. And depending on the type of the fund and how the market is going to fluctuate, that's how that average interest rate will come in place. Now, that could be any number. It could be less than 5, less than 10, less than 15, whatever it is, right? So depending on that, that's how much income will be earned. Now, in this scenario, and what we talked about is beneficiary passes away. But let's say if that beneficiary dies without a will, the proceeds are distributed according to the laws of the province
right.
or territory where the beneficiary resided. Okay, and however, relying on the laws of inestate like could lead to unintended distributions, particularly if the beneficiary has a preference that non-related individuals inherit whatever they have to leave behind.
So I'm going to circle back to what you just said about a will. I mean, this is off topic, but it probably would be your recommendation that anyone that has any kind of financial savings, investments, anything that is creating wealth, that they have a will so that there isn't a problem if they pass away.
Absolutely. And especially when it comes to families who have someone who is disabled, dependent on the family, not only they have to have a will, but also they have to ensure. I mean, I recommend that they should have Henson Trust built within the will as well.
So let's also talk about other opportunities that people living with disabilities, people that have a disability, might be able to take advantage of. And I still am sort of zoning in on the fact that baby boomers, for instance, we are 9 million strong in this country, if not more. And as we age, as people age, there are disabilities that appear, you know, and the lack of mobility, dementia, all kinds of things that can affect the way you live. So how can someone who is maybe over 60 or over 70 and has never dealt with a disability but is seeing that on the horizon, what are the other opportunities for them to capitalize on government support?
RDSP, then it doesn't actually come in effect at that point because there are guidelines by the government.
We're beyond that now,
yes.
Yeah.
So if someone who is over, let's say, age 49, I already talked about it, they can still open an RDSP, but that RDSP has to collapse at the age of 60. And they have to start getting money under the Lifetime Disability Assistance Payment Plan. And there are also scenarios where people, when they're over 60, then RDSP will not help them out because they can't open that up. But what I can talk about is this. Let's say someone has a disability is at the age of 30. They never know about this plan, okay? And I'll tell you this too, because I talked about it. There are almost whoever number of disabled people are, any form of disability, that could be medical, mental, physical, right? People think that disability is someone who is in a wheelchair. That's not the case, okay? Disability comes in any forms and shapes and sizes, and they are disabilities. So I already kind of mentioned about it. There are 8 million people in Canada who have some form of disability. This plan, when it was opened up back in 2008, since then, do you have any idea that how many people have opened up this plan? What's the percentage? What do you think?
I'm going to say 22%.
So it's a little bit higher. It's 35.
Wow.
So only 35% people who disabilities who actually can qualify has opened up this plan.
Is that because they don't know about it?
Because they don't know about it, or maybe they do know about it, but they don't have enough information about it.
Right, right. Okay? It can be a little intimidating.
Yes. And also these 35%, I can tell you that not they are really keeping up with the plan because they don't really know what it is and how it's going to help them out in the future, in the long term. So they are not really taking the full advantage of this particular plan. But the good thing about this plan is you can backtrack for the last 10 years.
So it's like retroactive in a way.
Yes. So I'll give you an example. Let's say someone who qualifies to receive $3,500 a year in a grant for their contribution of $1,500 a year. So let me just talk about two families. Family A, who knows about this plan, who has opened up this plan, they contribute $1,500 every single year. They receive $3,500 for the grant. That money is invested from going back to 10 years ago. And then every year they keep contributing. And then every year that money is invested and then it keeps earning the interest. But family B, who has someone in the family, but they never knew about this plan or they didn't have enough information about this plan. And let's say now today they meet with me, I kind of educate them on this piece, and then now they become the RDSP account holder. The good news is they can catch up on the grants which they could have received for the last 10 years. Okay? Now, do they all come in one shot? No. But they come in the lump sum payments, and they have to catch up maybe for another 3-4 years to qualify for all those grants which they could have received. But in these scenarios, if you see the family A and family B, family A will be more ahead financially because it was done 10 years ago. It was invested, and every single year it went into the investment, and that has earned the income. Now, by the time family B know about it and then they open up this plan, I don't think that they will have almost, I would say, maybe almost, let's say, less than like 70% or I would say 65% of the money what the family A could have, right? Yeah. So this is why families need to know about this. And like I said, it was introduced back in 2008. So it's been many years now, but there are so many people, they're not aware of this plan.
I wasn't until we sat down to do this this episode. And so I'm like so many Canadians, just not aware, but made far more aware because of you. Hem, how can people get in touch with you to get the really solid information that you've dispensed during this episode of How Money Works?
So people can actually call me directly on my office line, which is 905-760-0132.
Can they reach you by email as well? You know, a lot of people are on their laptops or on their phones.
They can reach to me by email as well, which is my first name, H-E-M, dot my last name, B-H-A-T-T, at primerica.com.
So, Hem, the last word when it comes to the RDSP, the Registered Disability Savings Plan, how would you, in one sentence, ensure and convince our listeners that it is worth looking into, that it is helping you financially?
So it actually really helps you. It enables you for the financial future, and especially someone who is dependent on you, because never underestimate the power of this plan, because it kicks in after you're gone as a caregiver or you cannot provide certain financial help for those individuals.
You're the best. I learned so much, and I look forward to the next episode, episode 4 of How Money Works. Thank you so much, Hem, and I thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Discovery, the radio show for podcasters, exclusive to 105.9 The Region. Expand your audience and extend your reach. Send us your podcast, info@1059theregion.com.